Thank you for downloading the Elohim Christian Church podcast. Today's message is brought by Steve Parker.
Okay, so I've called today's message, But Lord. Yes, I shall explain a little bit later on. All right, it seems to be pretty much the default statement to lots of men of God in the Bible when God asks them to do something that requires a leap of faith. They always come out with a, but Lord. Oh, but first of all, I come bearing gifts. I've read this book. It's very good. It's Once an Arafat Man. It's about a fella who we met when we was over in Israel. And his story of how he turned from Islam to Christianity. He used to be a PLO sniper. So what is that? Would anybody like to read it? Anybody interested in... it's all right. Okay, I know you've heard him speak, haven't you? Yeah, you could share. Yeah. Let it go around. Fantastic story. Really good. Really amazing story. You'll read it quick. All right. Enjoy that. I know I did. All right. So, on with the show. Right. Have you ever noticed when you get nervous, you ask lots of questions? I don't know whether you've noticed that. Me being a tradesman, if I'm called out to a problem where somebody's got a problem, people are often nervous, and they come out with that nervous question. How much is it going to cost? And that's when, as a tradesman, you've always practiced that famous line, oh, it's a bad one. Oh. I'm only joking, all right? Honesty is the best policy. Honesty is the best policy, all right? It keeps the blessing flowing. You need the blessing of God. That's a lot better than any other filthy lucre that might come your way. What's filthy lucre? Someone's asking. Money. Right, okay. No, all right. I'll just move on, because otherwise I'm going to get sidetracked. All right, sometimes God ask you to do stuff that takes you out of your comfort zone. Has anybody ever noticed that? Ooh, it stretches you. Anybody ever been there? Stretches you. Okay. We need to believe that God does and will use us to establish his kingdom on earth. And we need to recognize he chooses us, even though we've got our weaknesses, so that his strength could be seen through us. 2 Corinthians 12:9. My power is made perfect in weakness. How good is that? Right, so Jesus, he didn't choose the scholars of the day, the guys that thought that they knew it all, religious experts. He chose fishermen, robbing taxmen, or tax collectors, freedom fighters, etc., etc. The religious folks, they were too self-righteous, you know, to be taught what true faith really meant. Because Jesus only had 3 years. It would have taken too much unlearning for them. I don't think they could handle the truth, as one man once said. Okay, so these fellas were out of their comfort zone a lot. You ever read through the Gospels, you will see that. Time and time again, when you call someone to walk on water, you're going to be outside of your comfort zone. And when you call in them to feed 5,000 people with a couple of loaves and bread, and don't forget the women and children, of course, with the loaves and the fishes, it causes a lot of, but Lord, how are we going to do that? Okay, so heal the sick, cast out demons. You know, it's a scary business when you're following Jesus, but it sure is exciting and it sure is fulfilling. So Jesus was shaping them into people that he could pass his mission onto, because he was going to heaven and the job would be left to people, the kind of people that could betray him, desert him, deny him, mess it up, because, you know, people do that a lot, unfortunately. But it was going to be into people that would be perfected step by step, and they were going to get the job done nonetheless. Okay. You know what? If you're a believer in Jesus, he has passed his mission onto you. Okay, not the person next to you, but onto you. All right, it's a big, big calling. And many people in the Bible balked at the call of God. Just reading through, when God appeared to Moses at the burning bush, there was five times that Moses protested. It kind of keeps going through. But Moses protested. But Moses protested. And there was five times he was trying to convince God that he wasn't up to the task. You know, God had to convince him, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to help you. It's all going to work out. Okay, Jeremiah, he said, after God called him in Jeremiah 1 verse 6, "Oh, sovereign Lord," I said, "I can't speak. I am too young." And so the excuses go on and on when the call of God come to people. Peter, he felt he was too sinful to be around Jesus. Esther, she felt as though she would be killed if she was going to do what God wanted her to do. And that's quite a good excuse, that one, actually, isn't it? But Abraham, he felt as though he was just too old to fulfill the purpose of God. Elijah, he felt too much of a failure to be able to carry on. Gideon, we're going to look now in Judges chapter 6, verse 14 and 15. Something that Gideon said to the angel of the Lord when he appeared to him. "Then the Lord turned to him and said, 'Go with the strength you have and rescue Israel from the Midianites. I am sending you.' 'But Lord,' Gideon replied, 'how can I rescue Israel? My clan is the weakest in the whole tribe of Manasseh, and I am the least in my entire family.'" So there we see it. Excuses coming out. "Can't do it. I'm the weakest. I'm not very good," etc. All right, and here's another good one that happens now in the New Testament, Acts chapter 9. We're going to read from verse 10 through to 18. Saul was on his way to butcher a load of Christians when he got a bit of a surprise on the way. And God did a bit of a download to a guy named Ananias. "Now there was a believer in Damascus named Ananias. The Lord spoke to him in a vision, calling, 'Ananias?' 'Yes, Lord,' he replied. The Lord said, 'Go over to Straight Street to the house of Judas. When you get there, ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul. He is praying to me right now. I have shown him in a vision. I've shown him a vision of a man named Ananias coming in and laying hands on him so he can see again.' 'But Lord,' exclaimed Ananias, 'I've heard many people talk about the terrible things this man has done to the believers in Jerusalem. And he is authorized by the leading priests to arrest everyone who calls upon your name.' But the Lord said, 'Go, for Saul is my chosen instrument to take my message to the Gentiles and to kings, as well as to the people of Israel. And I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake.' So Ananias went and found Saul. He laid his hands on him and said, 'Brother Saul,'" that kind of made me laugh, that, "'Brother Saul.'" I thought, what fantastic grace this guy has got. I think if I was there, I was like, "Ah, you're not so clever now, are you? Can't see, can you? Psh, who did that? Psh, who did that?" Because he'd come to kill him, but there he was, you know. The grace of God was upon him. He was moving under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and he calls the guy who'd been murdering his brothers and sisters in Christ, "Brother Saul." Isn't that fantastic? Isn't that the grace of God, eh? "The Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road, has sent me so that you might regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit.' Instantly, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he got up and was baptized." Isn't that fantastic? Okay. The truth is, if we could do the stuff in our own strength and wisdom, we wouldn't need God. Okay. Some of Jesus' last words for us whilst he was on earth. Acts chapter 1, verse 4 to 5. We're a bit scripture heavy this morning. Shouldn't apologize for that, though, but don't want to give you indigestion all the same. But anyway, "Once when he was eating with them," that's Jesus, "he commanded them, 'Don't leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised, as I told you before. John baptized with water, but in just a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.'" Okay, so I kind of read into that Jesus was saying, look, don't do anything until the Holy Spirit comes upon you. I'm going. All right. You haven't got me here now to hold your hand. All right. You need the power of the Holy Spirit inside of you before you do anything. So don't do anything. Just stay where you are until the Spirit comes upon you. Okay. So you've seen some good stuff. Now I'm going out of here, and it's good that I'm going. That's a paraphrase of John 16:17. It's good that I'm going so that the Holy Spirit can come and be inside of you. So the only thing that they did pre-Pentecost is replace Judas with Matthias, which is kind of interesting because we never hear of him again after that. So it's interesting, isn't it? All right, Acts 1, verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. How many people here are filled with the Holy Spirit? Okay, you have received power. And if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, you can be. All right. Okay, so when you're born again, your spirit comes alive. And when you're baptized in the Spirit, you receive power. That's what that was all about last week when you're getting prayed for by Faye at the end of the meeting for a touch of the Spirit of God to fill you again. Okay, let me hear you say, I am powerful with the power of God. Amen. That is the truth. And we need to believe that. It's the power of God that makes the difference. Okay, so we're powerful to do the stuff that God wants us to do, not to do our own thing. Okay, so when you try and help God out in your own strength, it goes bad. Moses tried to help deliver the Israelites in his own strength, killed an Egyptian, and then he had to do a runner for many, many years, 40 of them. Okay, Peter, he tried to help Jesus out when he was getting arrested, not realizing this was in the plan and purposes of God, gets out his sword, chops off a fella's ear. Later, we see him kind of trying to save Jesus from going to the cross, I suppose, and denying Jesus three times, thinking that he could save him, trying it in his own strength. And unfortunately, he failed, and it caused him lots of grief, so much so he wept bitterly. Okay, here's the good news, though. God can redeem failures and mistakes. Isn't that a good job, hey? Isn't that a good job? All right. So God wants us busy with the thing that he calls us to do in his strength. Okay. There comes a call to us all. I am a poet. There comes a call to us all. All right. Some kind of service. All right. What we're called to is a service, whether it's to the body, whether it's to those who are not yet in the body, whether it's going to be into the community, whatever it is. It's a service, just like we heard in the prayer meeting this morning about how Jesus made himself, he humbled himself under John the Baptist and got baptized. He was willing to take on a servant's nature, the Bible tells us. Okay, so you get the power to fulfill your call. When I call to my wife or I call to my kids, they're expecting that it's for a purpose. You know, I might be calling out, Jaram, can you see my keys? Do you know where my wallet is? Panic, panic, as I'm trying to get out the door. You know, when you call, it's kind of like, oh. You ever do that? Oh, they're calling me again. Oh. So you call out to your kids, can you clean your room? It's usually Sharon doing this, of course. Can you clean your room? Can you get to school? Can you jump in the shower? You know, they're expecting when there's a call that there's a purpose for that call. And when God calls us, there is a purpose. God called to little Samuel as he was a boy, didn't he? Called for a purpose. He was setting him up to be a prophet of the Most High God, and he was going to speak for God, and he did speak for God. Like I said a couple of weeks back, we find it hard to believe that we can do what God says we can do. We don't doubt God, but we doubt ourselves. But we've got to be careful not to do that, because God can come through for us. If he said you can do it, you can do it. God is not a liar. Okay, if God says you can do it, you can do it. All right, so don't be afraid to go for it, whatever it is that God tells you to do. Right, the power of the Holy Ghost inside of us leaves us with no excuse. Right, never be surprised if God's purpose and call seem too big for you to handle. All right, that's the whole point. You need God's help. So like we was talking earlier on, Peter in his own strength under pressure, he denies Jesus. I don't bleep, 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 know the man. Don't know what you're on about, you jolly sausage and all that lot. Paraphrase that was. Right, don't know the man. But a little bit later on, he's baptized with the Holy Spirit. He sees his opportunity, gets up, speaks up. 2,000 people are saved. Shortly after that, he preaches again. 3,000 people are saved. How awesome is that? What a totally different man. Moved from his strength into God's strength. See, Peter, he answered the call. Jesus said to him, I'm going to make you fishers of men. He was just doing what came supernaturally. All right. Of course, that's not everybody's call, but there is a call for us all. Something that Jesus will make you into, just like Jesus made Peter into a fisher of men. He's going to make us, and he is making us into something. He's forming us all the time into what he wants us to be. And then, of course, you've got to take a step of faith to launch out into that thing that he's got for you. So our call is going to look different. Everybody's call looks different. We are not robots. Okay, we're all different. We didn't come off the same production line. God made us individually who we are. We look different and sound different, etc. So your call is different as well. You might be called to sing. You might be called to play. Even in the Bible, there was a bloke that was called to sew stuff up, do embroidery. Have a look in the Old Testament. Another bloke was called to do metalwork. The anointing of God came upon them to do those things. And they made ornate things for the temple of God. I'm sure they must have been absolutely outstanding. It would have been awesome to see what it is that they made with the anointing of God upon them. So the church thrives when the people work in their gifting that they've been blessed with. Yes. All right. I remember doing some door-to-door with a guy called Paul in Bristol. And that always causes most Christians' knees to knock. You don't need to knock on a door because your knees are knocking so loud. And come here to talk about God and Jesus and things like that. Do you want to know Jesus? And so you'd go around and, you'd get mixed results. Might get a chat with some people. And then you come back at the end and you find out this guy, Paul, first door he knocked on, he's inside, he's having a cup of tea, chatting with someone about Jesus, praying with them, thinking, what is it you got? It's just an anointing and a calling that he had upon him to be blessed in that way. And Pastor Colin, when I was down at Bible College in Horsham, no notes or anything, just used to get up and preach. How'd you do that? It's the anointing of God. It's the gift of God that was upon him to be able to do that. Okay, let's look at 1 Peter 4, verse 10. Great verse, this one. God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. So what has he done? Who has he given it to? God has given each. Yeah, each of us. Yeah, so that means everyone. Right, each of us a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. All right, we've got to use the gifts well. Use the gifts well. That's good, isn't it? All right, I think it is. Thanks, Faye. All right, it's your job, it's your duty to find out your gift and to use it well when God opens the door for you to be able to do so. Some years ago, I didn't have an open door to use a gift that I had. And so it needed a person in a higher authority to kind of be able to say, all right, you can release this gift. All right, and so I asked Father God, God, can I have an open door? I just want to be able to use this gift. Didn't talk to anyone else about it. Didn't try and kind of say, oh, I want to do this or whatever. Just prayed. Just asked Father God. And you know what? God opened the door. And the opportunity came just by talking to the Father. Very shortly afterwards, I was asked by the person in authority, could you come and use this gift? I'm paraphrasing. And I said, yeah, sure, love to. And away you go. All right. So your gift needs an outlet. Your gift needs an outlet. Otherwise, you're like a shaken up Coke can. You know what that's like, don't you? All right. It builds up pressure inside of you. All right. The prayer or prayer and the leading of the Spirit of God are key to the best use and release of your gift. Okay, if that makes any sense to you. Okay, then you have a responsibility to keep your gift burning. 2 Timothy 1 verse 6, another well-known verse, came to a young man. Well, I reckon he's probably about 40-ish, so yeah, we'll go with that. Young man. All right, 2 Timothy 1 verse 6. This is why I remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gift God gave you when I laid my hands on you. So that was his spiritual father, Paul, talking to Timothy. And could you imagine fanning a fire? You know, it takes a bit of energy, doesn't it? You've got to do something about it. You've got to keep it going. You've got to keep on refueling the fire. You have to put some effort into it. Yeah, God's given you a gift, but you've got to use a little bit of effort to keep that gift on fire, to keep it burning. Okay. And it takes time, it takes effort, and of course, constant relationship with the gift giver, Jesus. Don't underestimate the gift of prayer and intercession. Rita brought a verse this morning. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, call on me, or something like that, and seek my face, then will I heal their land. In other words, bring revival. It's a great revival prayer that has been prayed down to generations, and people have prayed those kind of prayers, and hundreds of thousands of people have been brought into the kingdom of God through the power of prayer. You think about guys like the Moravians who had their 100-year prayer meeting. They just kept praying through generations, and then, wow, there was a sweep. There was a move of God. And it births revivals, the power of prayer. You want to read about what happened in Korea. It was all through the power of prayer, massive revivals, millions literally went into the kingdom of God. Thank you, Siri, for that. All right. Before we step out in using the gift, we need to deal with the fear of messing it up. Okay. Sooner or later, we're going to goof. All right, it's part of the human condition. Some people say, no, you don't goof, you just learn. All right, that's the way to take it, really. You don't goof, you just learn. Moses got it wrong. Abraham got it wrong. David got it wrong. Jonah got it wrong. Peter got it wrong. Paul got it wrong. Jesus never got it wrong. Okay, just checking you're still awake. Jesus never got it wrong. All right, but getting it wrong makes getting it right feel all the sweeter, doesn't it? Okay, don't aim to get it wrong, of course, but, you know, as we go along in life, sometimes we're going to make a mistake or so, say something that maybe we shouldn't have said, you know, that little bit of counseling that we gave, oh, yeah, maybe there was a little bit of me in there or whatever, you know, but what we got to do is keep on going. Be smart. Let God pick you up, dust you off, and go again. All right, it's all right to make mistakes. God is used to it. We bring it under the blood. Boom. Been praying about forgiveness again this morning. It comes to us, and we can go again and use the gift that God has given us. The worst mistake, of course, is doing nothing at all. All right, God can sometimes prevent you from doing stuff because he has something better in mind. We're going to look at Acts chapter 16 again, and Paul, he's busy being a missionary, just kind of like, yeah, could preach to God. Anything moves, it's going to get preached to. I'm going to preach the gospel to it. And so he is just heading off, wants to go into Asia. But let's read what happens. Next, Paul and Silas traveled through the area of Phrygia and Galatia because the Holy Spirit had prevented them from preaching the word in the province of Asia at that time. Interesting, eh? Then coming to the borders of Mysia, they headed north for the province of Bithynia. But again, the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them to go there. Some people don't believe in the Trinity, but there it is in front of you. So instead, they went on through Mysia to the seaport of Troas. That night, Paul had a vision. A man from Macedonia in northern Greece was standing there, pleading with him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." So we decided to leave for Macedonia at once, having concluded that God was calling us to preach the good news there. Okay, I think even I could have worked that one out. It's quite good. I wonder if he had a Macedonia FC shirt on or something. How did he know that he was from Macedonia? Was he holding up a sign that said, "I am from Macedonia"? But anyway, Paul discerned it. He worked it out and he said, "Right, that's it. We've got the commission from God. We've been prevented from going here. We've been prevented from going there. But God has opened the door for us. And off we go." Right, so the prevention by the Holy Spirit is a good thing. It's active. All right. Hence the saying, if at first you don't succeed, wait until God opens the door for you. I made that one up. Okay. If you're walking with the Holy Spirit, he can help you be in the right place at the right time, and then good things are going to happen. It's all about relationship with God, sticking close with God, being sensitive to what the Spirit is saying to you. So they took God's word onto Philippi in Macedonia, and they met the right people, and they got saved, and they got baptized, and hey, they planted a church and things like that. So, okay, later on, they were beaten with rods and thrown in jail. Okay, but that's all right. It just gave them an opportunity for a sing-song. Yeah, if you read the story there, carrying on in Acts chapter 16, it gave them an opportunity for a sing-song. And if you know the story, everybody in the wholesale block was dancing to the Jailhouse Rock. Contemporary reference for the not-so-young people, that was. Bloke called Elvis sung that. All right. So it was the original Jailhouse Rock. I'll tell you the rest of the story. What happened? They were singing. This is Steve's version of the Bible. This. God got so excited, he started singing along with them. They were singing. It was for freedom, freedom, freedom. Christ has set us free. And as soon as God started singing freedom, there was an earthquake. And the jail doors broke open. And their chains fell off. And they were indeed free. Okay. God joined in. God joined in. It's just my imagination, that is. But anyway, the jailer came down. He fell before them. He said, "What must I do to be saved?" So, more good news coming. More good news coming out of them going where God told them to go. Him and his whole family were saved. How cool is that? And the second moral of the story, don't expect to win popularity contests for doing what God wants. You know, we're not believers to be popular. Yeah, of course, yeah, we'd like to be popular. We want the favor of men, but the message of God isn't always going to get you the favor of men. I don't know whether you've been watching the news. You might know that there's been an election. What are you laughing for? And there's now a coalition of the Conservatives and the DUP, so that's Northern Ireland's Democratic Unionist Party. Okay, and politicians and others aren't happy. Why is it that they aren't happy? Because the DUP, well, yes, because they're never happy. Maybe that's true. All right, because the DUP don't support same-sex marriage. Or should we say, they oppose the redefinition of marriage. And it was the other one. They oppose women's rights. And that's PC talk for they disagree with abortion, as in killing unborn babies. Last time I looked, the leader of the party was actually a lady. Where they're coming from with that kind of statement, I don't know. They don't support women's rights. That's a good spin, that one, isn't it? That's what politics seems to do. Okay, and also, what else do they do that is so outrageous? They promote creationism. Okay, so they believe that God made the universe. One day everybody's going to believe that. You know, the knowledge of the Lord is going to fill the whole earth. One day, everybody is going to believe that. So don't be surprised if those views are used to as a rod to beat the government with. All right, the devil doesn't like it when there is godly influence in government. All you need to do is to read the book of Daniel to find that out. Okay, so my prayer is they won't buckle. They won't buckle under the pressure that people are going to put on them because of those strong beliefs, because of political pressure. But rather, it's going to work as salt and light, because righteousness exalts a nation. All right, I'm not trying to give a party political broadcast here. We can't actually vote for the DUP in Leicestershire. All right, but all I'm saying is those values are good and godly values. Yeah, and yeah, we should be glad that those kind of things perhaps are going to come up on the radar in government once again. All right, what else do we need to do? Hey, we need to really pray, don't we? We need to really pray for those guys. So I'm not telling you who to vote for, who to support or anything like that, because that would be divisive and we're not into that, okay? So we've got lots of different views, who should be in government, who shouldn't, etc. But hey, one thing we can agree on, what the Bible says, that whoever's in power, God has put them there for a purpose. Okay, great. I'm glad everybody agrees. We all vote differently, but at the end, God has put whoever is in power for our good, the Bible tells us. 1 Timothy 2, verse 1 to 4. So Paul is speaking to the people of God, and it comes down through the ages to us. And this is a command for us as well. I urge you, first of all, to pray for all people. Ask God to help them. Intercede on their behalf and give thanks for them. Pray this way for kings and all who are in authority so that we can live peaceful and quiet lives marked by godliness and dignity. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants everyone to be saved and to understand the truth. Okay, so that's good. So if we hear these things coming up, if you really feel like it, you can send your MP a nice little email or something like that saying, these are good. It's good to hear these kind of views coming up again, because that's the kind of thing that God wants. And if we get that, there is going to be blessing and there's going to be prosperity for the country. And that is going to be a good thing. Prayer works. It is super powerful, super powerful. And God uses people to do it. He uses you. Say, he uses me.
He uses me.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does. Come on, let's look in James chapter 5, verse 16 to 18. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. How awesome is that? Elijah was a human, as we are. And yet when he prayed earnestly that no rain would fall, none fell for 3.5 years. Then when he prayed again, the sky sent down rain and the earth began to yield its crops. That's what we want to see, isn't it? A harvest for God. We want to see the kingdom of God just exploding all over this land and salvation's coming. And people and families just come into God again and getting their lives set in order. Instead of having a crooked slant on what life should be, they should get themselves back and aligned with God. And that way, they're going to experience joy. They're going to experience freedom and all of God's goodness. So if you're a believer filled with the Spirit, you are God's answer to the world. Yeah, that's the way it is. Walk in your call, using your gift, and good things are going to happen. Don't expect the devil to like it. He will resist you with everything he's got. That's okay. We can resist him back. And God is more powerful than the devil. He that is in you is greater than he that is ever that is in the world. And guys, never stop praying. Never stop praying. It works. You know, if you haven't seen your answer, keep on praying. Keep on praying. Just like Elijah did up on that mountain. Can you see that cloud yet? No, can't see it. Can you see it yet? No, can't see it. Can you see it? Can you see it? And eventually, that's it. We got to get out of here. It's going to absolutely pour it down with rain. Okay. So, come on then. We're going to pray together. So you can close your eyes if you like. Bow your head. Wonderful Savior. Lord, we just want to thank you, God. We're sometimes amazed that you want to use us. But Lord, use us. You do, Lord God. And so we just want to agree with you that, yeah, we are the answer to the world. We are the salt. We are the light. Thank you, God, for the gifts in this room. God, I want to pray, Lord, for everybody's gifts, Lord, in this room, that, God, they would be just used to their full potential in the name of Jesus. Lord, I want to pray, Lord, for open doors for people to be able to use their gifts. Lord God, not only in the body, but God, out there in the world where it's really, you are really needed, Lord God, where people are broken, people are hurting, people are confused, people don't know what the best way to go is. Lord God, I pray you're going to help us to be able to have an impact into the world, Lord God, because of the gifts that you have placed inside of us. Thank you, Lord, for the anointing of the Holy Spirit, Lord, that comes upon us, Lord, to make us witnesses to what you have done, Jesus. And I want to pray, Lord, that you would make us effective witnesses wherever we go, whatever we do, to our families, to our neighbors, to our work colleagues, Lord, to the people that we rub shoulders with. Heavenly Father, fill us to overflowing with your Holy Spirit. Help us to walk in step with you and to be sensitive. Help us to live so close to you, Jesus, Lord, that when you say, no, I don't want you going there, that we will be obedient. And then, Lord, when that door comes open, we walk straight through it, Lord God. And Lord, we will know fruitfulness for your kingdom. Help us to be the best servants we can be for you. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.